few years ago, my cousin-in-law, I guess she is, my cousin's wife, lost her mother. And I asked her how she was doing a few weeks afterward. And she used this phrase that I think other people have used, but to me it was new at that time. She said, "Well, I'm learning to live in a new normal." And so as we think about our experiences here at Wellspring, as we think about how God works, He's always transforming our lives. Things are always happening to us. And we are constantly adjusting and changing and trying to keep up many times with what God is doing in our lives. So this verse, which I don't see the... There it is. From 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." So I want to talk a little bit about today about living into a new normal. There's a writer by the name of Catherine Woody Wiss who said, "I wasn't expecting painful things to happen to me. I knew that pain was a part of life, but I managed to skate by for some time without having to acknowledge it. After a handful of traumas in the past 5 years, things look different now. Trauma upends everything we took for granted, including things that we didn't know we took for granted. Trauma permanently changes us. This is the big, scary truth about trauma. There is no such thing as getting over it. A major disruption leaves a new normal in its wake. There is no such thing as back to the old me. You are different now. It is not a wholly negative thing. Healing from trauma can also mean finding new strength and joy. The goal of healing is not papering over the changes in effort to preserve or present things as normal. It is to acknowledge and wear your new life, warts, wisdoms, and all, with courage." So, you can't see it too well, but so Sandra sent me this email this week, and she said, "Back in the late 1990s, the church bought several acres of land back from the prison to give us some space. We planted two trees in the corners of our property. Over time, both trees appeared to have died. Out of nowhere, the tree, the right-hand side, started to grow back. Jeff reminded me that this tree grew out of a stump. This is the tree today. If you walk down the prayer path, the tree is right in the corner here. Last Sunday, we spent some time sharing our memories and stories. Losing Pastor Mike was a traumatic event in our lives and church life here at Wellspring. And there are many traumatic things that happened to us. Our own illness, a new diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, moving to a new house or a new state, having our children leave home, losing or changing jobs. Jen, traumatic event in her life. A breakdown in relationships. This is a picture of a tree, the tree that was dying here at the corner of our church. Here it is, gone. Nope, couldn't get the video. Ah, shucks. There was a video of the tree being pulled over and coming down. But this is what's left. This is what we have left. This is our little corner over here. This is our new normal. Now, on the surface, it may look like the tree was never there. But underneath, there are hundreds of roots that need to be broken down and heal. There's so many roots that we can't just plant another tree there for many years. The new tree wouldn't be able to grow with the interference from the old root system. It needs time, and we need time. But God's promise is that we are being renewed day by day through God's work in our lives and in our church. I'm going to take some time, a few minutes, and read from Isaiah 40. This is a nice long scripture, and I will come back and look at some bits and pieces of it. But I believe and I trust that in the reading of scripture, God's Spirit works in us in special ways. So be attentive to God's Spirit as I read. There might be something that the Spirit pulls out for you or nudges you or something that stands out to you, if it's a question or an affirmation or an encouragement. Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arm and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who is measured? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or the breath of his hand marked out the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him and taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretched out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. What did you hear? Did anything stand out to you? I'll give you a chance at the end again, since I didn't warn you ahead of time that I was going to be asking. These are the things that stood out for me. Oops, going backwards. God's comfort. Says, comfort, comfort my people, says our God. In a time when we're adjusting to a new normal, we can trust that God will comfort us. This part of Isaiah is written to the captives in Babylon as they prepare themselves to go back. And God is promising comfort for them, just as God promises comfort for us. The adjustment into a new normal will feel like you're in a wilderness. The trauma or whatever has happened to you, that space that you are in, the dark space, the sad space, the difficult space, will feel like a wilderness. And in order for us to step into the new normal, in order for God to renew us, we will need to, from that space, prepare a way for the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Look for God in that difficult space. We prepare the way for the Lord, and we make straight the desert. We make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In the wilderness, it doesn't say that God will prepare it. But from our wilderness, from our trauma, from our space, we prepare the way for the Lord so that the Lord can renew us and change us and prepare us. It's locked up. Okay, that's all right. The next slide had a picture, just had the words, "The word of our Lord endures forever." Why is it so important for us to continue to read the Word of God and continue to study the Word of God? Why did I take so much time to read this long passage? As we transition into new normals, as we deal with whatever it is that has happened to us, the Word of God is our anchor. The Word of God is our space of renewal. We won't be able to find in our own minds renewal. Our own minds will be cycling around, focusing on the pain that we feel, the darkness that we're in. We have to find that inspiration from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God. Jeff, you said it wasn't going to come back. Says all people are like grass, and all of our faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. But the word of our God endures forever. See, the word of God is eternal. We are not. And so when we're in this transition and when we're in this renewal, time of renewal and change and healing, we have to go to the word of God. As we go to the word, as we pray, as we spend time with other people, we will find good news. We will find spaces of hope. And we need to, as we do, we need to share that good news. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. When somebody sends me a message and asks me to pray for them, and I pray for them, it is such a joy when they find that space of hope, when they find that word of hope, and they send a message back to me and they say, good news. God did this for me. I realized this. I'm being renewed. I'm being healed. Part of our transition, part of our renewal, part of our healing is sharing the good news about what God is doing in our life and giving God the honor and the glory for the renewal in our lives. But just like renewal, just like every process, and each cycle that we go through, we are going to need again those words of comfort, right? He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. As you cycle around, you might one day feel like you have great news. Things are really changing. I feel great. And then the next day you'll be like, what did you say in your text to me? I'm just going to rock back and forth. Right? Some days you just need the shepherd. You just need God to just hold you. And you just need to be, right? Be in God's presence. Be comforted by God. In the next verses, it talks about the greatness of God, the Spirit of God. And it is our tendency to think that we know what's good for us. We know what's good for other people. This is a reminder that during our times of renewal and healing, that it is God who has the knowledge. It is God who has the wisdom. It is the Spirit of God that ministers to us in ways that bring true renewal and understanding. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? No one, right? It is in God. It is who God is. And then again, the reminders that when we're in doubt, we look to God. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Why do you say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. I love this chapter because it just keeps cycling us around, and that's how it is, right? That's how our experience is. We one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back, and that's how it is when we're working through things in our lives that are difficult. And then the final promise. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our journey to a new normal is based on our hope in the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And as we sang the songs this morning, I realized there's a lot of new normals that God wants us to take us to. Yesterday, I talked to someone at the funeral who said, "Oh, I got this revelation this week, and I'm at a new level with the Lord. I'm a new level." She was so excited. So she started telling me, "I'm at a new level. I trust the Lord in a new, beautiful, different way." God wants us to be able to do that. He wants us to have these signposts, these new normals in our lives where we trust God better, where we come more quickly to God when we are in need, where we pray more quickly, where we go to God's word more quickly. God wants us. He wants to continue to renew us and help us. Constantly, new normals, whether they're caused by trauma or whether they're just caused by growth. New normals can be caused by growth as well. So that was something I hadn't thought of before we sang today, but... And never mind the new normal of going to heaven, right? We sang a couple of songs about the new mansion, and that'll be a really gigantic new normal for us to get used to. But then we won't need a lot of help for that one. It'll just be easy, hopefully. Couple more thoughts before we go. I want to give you an opportunity to share as well. As we, as a congregation, as we, as people, because we have a lot of things happening in our lives, remember that as we live, it's always better to be present than to be distant. If you ever get a nudge to send somebody a text or give somebody a call or go visit somebody, follow the nudge. If the person doesn't respond, or they don't answer the phone call, or they're not home, well, you erred on the side of being present with that person. We have this curious thing that has happened in our culture, and I think in some ways it's okay, but in other ways it's very countercultural to a lot of cultures in the world. Where if somebody is grieving or somebody's going through something difficult, in most cultures, the community gathers in. In our culture, we've started saying, well, maybe the person needs some space. And it is true. Not everybody needs that community presence. But at the same time, it does send a message. And it would be so much worse if that person says, "You know what? Nobody came to visit me." Then if they said, "So many people came to visit me that I was exhausted," right? So let's try, and maybe it's the right presence, right? We don't need a whole lot of people coming telling us how to feel, but we do need people to surround us with presence. And phones and text messages and emails does make that a little easier in some ways, because you can send a message without interrupting people. And if they want to, if they respond positively, then you can continue on. As we think about our process here and our life processes, we also need to keep an eye out for, like the scripture said, the the good news moments, right? The hope moments, the spaces where love shows up in unexpected ways. If you are going through a difficulty, you need love. You need people to care about you, not just by being present, but by also sitting with you, and you need to see God's love. So maybe it might be an unexpected affirmation, or it might be a flower in an unexpected place. But as we are being renewed, we need to pay attention to where God is showing us love and grace in every day. This is something that came across my Facebook page. I thought it was interesting and true. It says, "Do not be dismayed by the brokenness in the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you." And I would say the light of Christ that is within you, right? So can we accept that things break? Can we accept that things go wrong in our lives? We have to. But we can also hope that God will continue, as he promised, to renew us day by day, to transform our lives. And it's not just time that heals us, but it is our intentions. It is our decision to seek God's word and to pray and to seek the help of others in our community. So love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in the darkness for the light of Christ that is in you. This is, in my mind, somewhat of a transitional message. Last week, we had a memorial service, a time to remember. And this week, we talk about the new normal that we are living in. But we still have a lot of work to do. The last 6 months have been a complicated mix, right? Just like the rest of our lives, a messy mix of mourning and remembering, of leaving things behind, even as we pick new things up. But it also has been a wonderful mix of inspiration and love, of hope and rose. In God's comfort, in God's shepherding, in God seeking God's wisdom, and following God's leading, in speaking life, and as we speak good news, we are trusting God's way and will for us. In the month of June, we're going to be studying the book of Acts. For the new believers in Acts, we can study from them, from the new believers in Acts, we can study and learn about learning to live in a new normal. Those believers in the first chapters of Acts are learning to live with a new normal of a resurrected Jesus and following Christ in community. We can learn from them. We can rediscover and recommit to being church together. So my prayer is that God will bless our journey together as we intentionally, faithfully, lovingly, and hopefully walk in the light of Christ's love and shine the light in our community and in our world. God is with us. God will lead us. God is behind us and he's before us. So what say you? What did you hear this morning? How are you feeling? I guess I'd want to do a little check-in. How are you feeling? Well, members of Wellspring, are you settling into this new normal? What do we need to pay attention in the journey ahead as God renews us and moves us?